I would ask you to stand at this time. We're going to read from Psalm 61, verse 2. Speak this morning about mountains and plateaus. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Praise God. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, help us, each of us, oh God, to hear your voice this morning. In the preaching of the word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, have your way in every heart and every mind, oh God, that we can understand what the Spirit says, not only to the church, but what the Spirit says to our own need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. The psalmist asked God to lead him to the rock that is higher than himself. I hope this morning you recognize that there is someone, something higher than yourself. Amen. That's why we're here, I guess, because we want to reach out to the Almighty God. Amen. I ask you to look again in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19. I'm going to read through quickly a story that most of us are familiar with. 1 Kings 19:9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" That's always a stop in your tracks moment when God says, "What are you doing here? What are you here for?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You see where Elijah's focus was. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." I'm praying this morning that we hear that voice. And get close to God. Get into God's presence. I believe a lot about those several events that took place there. The earthquake and the wind, and I think God was, one, getting Elijah's attention, but also trying to show that those are just extraneous things, that the really important thing is the voice of God, hearing from God. But see, what happens is we see God more clearly. He heard from God in a very clear way, but I think God also showed Elijah something about himself. I think that's a key element. We want to get close to God. Guess what? He's going to show us things about ourselves. That's what prevents a lot of people from separating unto God. A lot of you have been in the mountains. I've been in the mountains, mostly driven through the mountains. Here in the United States, at one time I took a trip out west back in my crazy days when I thought I wanted to be a hippie. Some of you have heard these stories before, but I can't help it. They're the only mountain experiences I have. So I drove through the mountains. We took Highway 80, a friend of mine and I. It was the first time I'd been west, and that was, a lot of it was like nighttime driving, so I missed some of the grandeur of the mountains. But nonetheless, I've been to those mountains. I've also been in the mountains in South America. Many of you know that I was an exchange student in high school. I went to Colombia and spent the summer there. And the city I stayed in is is Medellin, spelled Medellin for those of you who don't have the accent. And they called it the city of eternal springtime. And the reason they called it that was because it was up in the mountains, but it was surrounded by mountain peaks, and in the middle, in this kind of a bowl, it was just 70 to 80 degrees all year round. Really nice. So, you know, it actually was winter time. It was pretty close to the equator, so there isn't that much variation in the weather. But there in Medellin, it was always springtime. But we did go up into the mountains on occasion. And, of course, the elevation there was very high anyway. But the place I lived in, the family I stayed with, was on one side of the city. The city proper was kind of down in the bowl, and a lot of the people, a lot of the houses were in that area surrounding that lower area. And at night, you could sit on the balcony. During the day, you know, you'd look across the I guess you can call it a valley. It wasn't actually a valley, but it was the lower area, and look across the bowl, and you could see in the distance the far hills. But at night, you could sit out on the balcony, and you could see the lights on the other side of the city, and they looked so close that almost as if, you know, if you shouted loudly enough that the people over there would be able to hear what you had to say. There's something about being in the mountains. It changes your perception of distance and maybe even time a little bit. I was there for 3 months, and we made several journeys up into the mountains proper. Day trips, if you want to call them that, and went up and saw a lot of beautiful country. Mountain glades and waterfalls and just a lot of beautiful places. And it left an impression on me that I will never forget. In my mind, I see pictures, even as I'm talking, of the different places that we visited. And we saw going up to the mountain makes an impact, especially for a kid from Menasha, Wisconsin, that never left the state before in his life. In a couple of weeks, he's in another country up in the mountains. I remember one time we took a trip, our group, I was an AFS student, we took a trip to up into the mountains, and we stayed at a place, and a storm came, and some of you have heard this story before too. And I was just amazed at being able to look across the mountain valley at the mountainside across the valley, and just watch the storm batter that hillside. Much like Elijah was experiencing, just the sheets of rain just hammering that hillside, and then the wind would change the direction. I really did at that time. The rest of the party went in, and I was just so focused, I guess, so drawn to what was happening out there. I did talk to the Lord there. I didn't know God at the time. I knew who Jesus was, I thought. But I talked to God that time in the middle of a party, separated myself willingly from the people around me because I was so impressed by what was taking place. Praise God. The wonder of creation. The testimony of a living God. How can this thing happen by accident? How can such beauty exist without a creator? I think I felt the presence of God a little bit that night. Not like I felt him here this morning. But it confirmed for me at that time that there was something greater than me in the world. Something higher, a rock that's higher than me. Praise God. The Google says that mountains are large natural elevation of the earth's surface, rising abruptly from surrounding level, a large steep hill. According to National Geographic, a hill is a piece of land that rises higher than everything surrounding it. Looks like a little bump in the earth. Since they're higher than everything around them, hills are good places to get a nice view. Hills are easier to climb than mountains. They're less steep and not as high, but like a mountain, a hill will usually have an obvious summit, which is its highest point. Can't say I've ever been to the summit of the mountain, or even the peak of whatever, you know, area I'm at. But I have been on the mountains. How many man up guys are here? Okay, let me ask you this question, man up guys. Are there mountains in Wisconsin? Okay. Go compare Rib Mountain to where you were for Man Up. Is there a comparison, brother? No comparison. Well, I looked at a Cascade Mountain. Don't you think that's a mountain? Okay. Yeah, me neither. Randall Lewis, a middle school social studies teacher on the all-knowing internet, says, currently there are no true mountains in Wisconsin, only big hills called mountains, like Rib Mountain outside of Wisconsin. Does anybody know the name of the highest point in Wisconsin? Geography quiz, Tim Sale, who said that? Glenn Uselman. All right, you're right. By 1 whole meter. No, I'm sorry, by 5 meters. Tim's Hill, amen, is the highest point in Wisconsin, and it's called the hill. So, but then the next highest point, anyone know what that is? Glenn? Next highest point? No, not Cascade. I don't think that's on my list. No, it's not. Not Rib Mountain, not yet. Lookout Mountain. I don't know if that's where you go climb up to look out, or if you're flying a plane, you have to look out for it. But it's the next highest mountain, hill, if you want to call it that, 586 meters, 5 meters. They must have really big tape measures to measure these. 5 meters shorter than Tim's Hill, and then 1 meter shorter than that is Rib Mountain. 1 meter equals 3.28 feet. So Tim's Hill is about 1,938 feet, and Rib Mountain is about 1,918 feet high. Amen. So, I said all that to say this, according to U.S. Geological Survey, there's no official difference between hills and mountains. Officially. The United Kingdom and the United States used to define hills as summits less than 1,000 feet, which then these places that I've named would count as mountains. However, both countries abandoned the distinction in the mid-20th century. You see, for some of us, our mountain, for someone else, it's just a hill. It's no big deal. Yeah, I've been through that. It's not a problem. But for the person who's climbing Rib Mountain for the first time, have you ever done any real hiking up hills like that? I mean, just you go up the side of one of those where it's not paved, or you're going to know that you're climbing. It'll feel like a mountain anyway, until you get on a real mountain. So my mountain, it might be just a hill to you. But I have to take seriously the concerns of others, because they're, what looks like a hill to me is a mountain for them right now. Praise God. In the book Deep Survival, Lawrence Gonzalez combines hard science and powerful storytelling. This is his blurb on Amazon. To illustrate the mysteries of survival, whether in the wilderness or in meeting any of life's great challenges, this gripping narrative, the first book to describe the art and science of survival, will change the way you see the world. Everyone has a mountain to climb. Everyone has a mountain to climb. what the book does is it tells about people who have put themselves in wilderness experiences, and oftentimes he uses different kinds of examples, and sometimes it's people who are trained and prepared and ready for it, and people who think they're trained and prepared and ready for it. And several of the instances that he gives, people fell off the mountain. fell off the mountain. He tells about Hawaiian tourists, and I think I've mentioned this before, who you go up on the sides of the mountains, the volcanic mountains in Hawaii, and there's a lot of really dense vegetation. And because the vegetation is so deep, so thick, and the vistas are so beautiful, people will just be gazing out at the ocean or whatever they can see from the side of the mountain, and because the vegetation just keeps going, they don't realize that there's a point under which that vegetation has no ground. And they'll walk right off the edge of the mountain into the vegetation and plummet to their death. We need to be ready if we're going to be climbing mountains. If we're going to separate ourselves, we need to make sure that it's possible to fall off the mountain. We want to have a spirit. How many here would like to have a spiritual experience? Amen. Woo! Spiritual. Or for some people, it's spiritual. Can I say we want to have a heavenly experience? But we have to look out for worldly stumbling blocks. See, you can be on the highest mountain in the world and still stumble over the smallest rock on the ground if you're not careful. So in our pursuit of mountaintop experiences, of spirituality, if you will, or our heavenly experience, we need to be careful of stumbling blocks. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Praise God. So, the truth is, in our quest for spiritual growth, in our desire for heavenly experiences, we still have to take into consideration the fact that we're human. Everybody take out your left hand, put it in front of your face. See that meaty part on the edge of the hand? Take your right thumb and finger and pinch that. That's flesh. Okay? If you don't have that, then you're okay. But if you have that flesh, then you need to be careful about 1 John 2, because everything that is in the world, we're susceptible to in our flesh. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the stumbling blocks that we must be aware of. 1 John 2:10 says, "He that loveth his father abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." That's just, that word stumbling is a word we get the word scandal from. It means a movable stick or trigger of a trap stick, a trap or a snare, an impediment placed in the way, causing one to stumble or fall. I'll keep going. Praise God. Applied to Jesus Christ, whose person and career were so contrary to the expectations of the Jews concerning the Messiah, he was the stumbling block that was rejected. And by their obstinacy, he caused them to have shipwreck in their salvation. See, sometimes we want to be spiritual, but we don't really want to deal with discipleship. We want to have a heavenly experience, but we don't really want to submit to Jesus. We can go down to the square. We can go down to State Street on any given weekend and find people expressing themselves in a way that leads you to believe that they're having some kind of a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening. But if you begin to talk about Jesus and talk about sin and talk about salvation, they'll shut you down. Because for them, it's a stumbling block. For them, it's something to trip over on their way to. But the problem is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, child, or other human being cometh to the Father but by me." Praise God. So we cannot accept every spiritual experience and be submitted to Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:8, "Again, a new commandment I read unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded the eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." I took a trip in the mountains in Colombia with a group, and we were on a bus, and there, if you've ever been on a bus on the mountains, that in itself was a harrowing experience. Hey, the United States and Curacao are playing a soccer. Who are you rooting for? Jesus. Okay, good. You go up into the mountains. And we had to stop because there was an accident on the road up ahead. And we were pretty far up the mountain already. And some of you have heard this story already before. And I got out of the bus, and we were allowed to wander around. And it was dark. It was night. And I was tired of sitting on the bus. And I started walking away from the bus a little bit. And you remember that thing about Hawaii and the vegetation on the edge of the mountain? Well, I know that's true, because I did the same thing. I was walking, and there was vegetation all around me, and everything was fine, and all of a sudden I was falling through the air. And, I mean, like bouncing off the side of the mountain. And I managed to grab onto a limb or something on the way down, and here I was hanging on the side of the mountain. Luckily, somebody saw me disappear into the brush, and they called a bunch of people over, and they were able to reach down and drag me up. But if you're walking in the dark on the side of a mountain, it's not a good idea to go too far from the road. And too many of us think that we can make our own way, and that we can... What was John talking about? He was talking about hating your brother. He was talking about not having a right relationship with your brother, and that equates to darkness. We want to have a personal experience. I want to have my mountaintop experience with Jesus Christ and the living God. There's no question about that, and that's a good thing. But if I got issues that I have not dealt with, I'm walking in the dark. There's all kinds of stumbling blocks we need to be aware of. Greed, lust, anger, bitterness, pride, envy. This word stumbling block, or it is translated as offense, offenses. Anybody here ever have to deal with an offense? Stumbling block, occasion, fall, offend, and stumbling. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God. We know this. But sometimes we get so focused on our desire to be spiritual that we make allowances for things in our life. And we don't see the stumbling blocks. These are the things of the flesh. Praise God. To some, the cross is a stumbling block, a stumbling stone. That means the story of Jesus, the sacrifice of our sins. For some of us that have walked in this way, we can allow ourselves to ignore the stumbling stones around us. We want a heavenly experience, but we forget that we're still flesh. But the greatest danger for many of us is not the ascent or the descent of the mountain. It's the flat ground. We like it right where we are. It's safe. Comfortable. I can see all around. I can see far ahead. I can see any obstacles. Doesn't take much effort to stay here. I'm on a plateau. But there's some problems with that. One is that, remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Don't worry, be happy. Just carry on. That's why a lot of people think they don't need Jesus. Hey, I got a good life, good job. I took a bike ride yesterday and a couple of ibuprofen later in the day, but I took a bike ride yesterday. And I went up into the wealthier neighborhood that's like 3 or 4 blocks away from my neighborhood. And nice, really nice houses. Just great architecture, great landscaping, beautiful places. But I just thought about the people inside of those houses, that they have the same spiritual needs that I have. How do I reach people like that? Because they've got it. They've got it together, as far as I can see from the outside. They have everything they need. Why do they need Jesus? I don't know. Maybe there's some really committed Christians living in some of those. Maybe that. And I got to thinking, you know, well, if I listen to Dave Ramsey and do everything he says, I can live in a house like that someday. But the fact is, a lot of people in our culture, especially Brother Phil made mention of it, we have so much that it's easy for a person to believe, I don't need Jesus. I'm not going to jail. I'm not committing great sin. I've got a good job. I got whatever food I want to eat. I get to take 2 or 3 vacations a year. My kids are going to college. Life is good. I don't need Jesus. That's a plateau existence. But again, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except he be born of the water and of the Spirit. These are the words of Jesus. So we have to determine here today in the Apostolic Pentecostal Church whether we're going to believe the words of Jesus or not. We can't say, well, I'm a Christian and only accept parts of what he said. He said, you must be born. You must be born. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. What does that mean, to be born of the water? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles who received instruction and direction directly from the mouth of Jesus, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The apostles said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Born of the water, water baptism, and born of the Spirit. Being filled with God's holy presence. And on the day of Pentecost, they all, everyone say all spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Praise God. You want to have a mountaintop experience? You're going to have to get off the plateau and come into the presence of God and be filled with His Spirit. But there's a lot of us that like the plateau experience, even those of us who have been born again. Anybody know what entropy is or atrophy? Praise God. These are laws of nature. Entropy and atrophy. Either things are going to be building or deteriorating. Either things, it's spiritually, either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. Either you're moving upward or you're moving downward. You think you're on a plateau. You think everything's flat and normal and going on, but in fact, one or the other has taken place, spiritually speaking. The plateau, really, spiritually speaking, is a mirage. You can't stay in one place, spiritually speaking. That's the trick of the devil. It's a mind game that somehow spiritually a child of God can just carry on and not worry, be happy. Some of us have had a mountaintop experience. Some of us have been to the mountain. But we came down to a certain level and stay there. We are higher than we were before. If you've been born again, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're already at a higher spiritual level than you ever were before in your life. But sometimes we settle. Find that comfort zone. Well, I've been in this church a long time. I put in my time. I've been involved in every ministry in the church. Yeah, what are you doing right now? Because you're either climbing or you're descending. Praise God. Many of us stay on the plateau. We're higher than we were before. And then we can see that there's people lower down in the valley there that they haven't reached this plateau, and we feel pretty good about ourselves. We don't look up. We just look down. I don't commit any of those gross sins. Just the little ones that I get forgiveness for. I'm a good Christian. Google says a plateau is an area of relatively level high ground. An upland, tableland, elevated plain, mesa, highland, table. Or it says a state of little or no change, following a period of activity or progress. I don't want to live on a plateau. National Geographic says a plateau is a flat, elevated landform that rises sharply above the surrounding area on at least one side. The plateaus occur on every continent and take up a third of the Earth's land. They are one of the four major landforms, along with mountains, plains, and hills. A plateau is a very common thing, is what that means. And it's also a very common spiritual phenomena. We may have been on a plateau for a long time. And what happens is when we get on that place, that means normal for us. And when something that's not normal comes along, we feel uncomfortable with it. We're unwilling to open up because we like normal. It's called complacency. But what happens is this. At least one side of a plateau has a way down. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Praise God. God is eternal. He lives outside of time. That's a hard concept for us to comprehend. He knows tomorrow, today. He knows the end from the beginning. He's timeless. But he knows that we live in time. And he wants us to spend our time. Our text today is, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Praise God. Anybody feel overwhelmed today? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." See, no matter what level we get to in our walk with God, He's always the rock that's higher than me. He's always calling me to another level. Let's stand. Praise God. I know this is basically the message that Pastor has been sharing. And that I just... Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God has more for us because we're so used to thinking in terms of the past. But we can't see the future. And He does see the future, and He is calling us to a higher place. Praise God. Revelation 4:1. "After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Praise God. See, the very last experience that we will have in this life, if we have walked with God, will be one more call to a higher place. Praise God. He's always calling us to a higher place. And if you've been on a plateau for any amount of time, I want to encourage you to come and let the voice of God speak to your heart. If you're feeling overwhelmed, certainly call unto the one that is the rock that is higher than us. But sometimes that overwhelming experience is meant to cause you to call out. Praise God. And if you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is the day. He's calling you to a higher plane in His Spirit. You can surrender all of your sin in repentance. Ask God to forgive you. Commit your life to Him. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. All of your sin will be washed away, never to be remembered. That's what the Bible says. And He will fill you with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. I want to give you the opportunity to come to hear the voice of God, to let Him lift you to a higher place than the place you're on. Why don't you come now? If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I especially want you to come down here on this side. If you want to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, today is the day, the scripture says, of your salvation. Praise God. God is calling every one of us to a higher place in Him. And that is the first step, is being lifted up in the Holy Ghost by the new birth. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It may mean more time in prayer. It may mean special time in the Bible. It may mean fellowship with brothers and sisters in the church. It may mean leaving something behind that's part of your life right now. What's God calling you to? Get the stumbling blocks out of the way.